Amen. I'm going to just jump right in. We have much to cover. That some of you probably saw me walk in here and like, oh no, we have reservations. I thought it was Pastor Ed. No, we are sensitive to the time and the season. Amen. Now don't pray, Holy Ghost, don't move today. Don't do anything different now. Just no, I promise to yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I promise that I'm going to say what he tells me to say or do what he tells me to do, because if I don't, he will pull me from the lineup. You say, God wouldn't say that. Oh, really? Read Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. He says it verbatim. Verbatim. Say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I will pull you from the lineup. I don't want to be pulled from the lineup. Last time I've been pulled from the lineup was when I was learning how to play basketball, and the coach couldn't take it anymore. Amen. But we've been talking about, I'm just jumping right in. We've been talking about that since we've received Christ, we have a new operating system, if you will. And well, let's go to John 3:16. God said, I could jump right in, but he said, I didn't say don't read the scriptures. So and then we're going to go to John 13. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 17. All right, John 3:16 and John 13:34 and 35, I'm sharing from the Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. And in John 13, Jesus said, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate, not talk about, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. We shared with our first time guests that this is a place where the love of God is evident. So they should be able to see us loving each other. That love we have for one another should be tangible and visible. Amen. You should see it and you should feel it. Are we true followers? Yes. Then we'll love one another. Amen. Now in 2 Corinthians 5, because I told you, we when we receive Christ, we have a new operating system. In the King James Version, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Contemporary English Version, that says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. How many things are new?
Everything.
And the Passion Translation says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. I like this part. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Everything, not some things. So in this series, the new operating system, we're doing it because we're new creatures in Christ. We need to understand who we've really become, what it means, how to operate it. Just like you get a computer with a new operating system, you have to take time to find out what the system does as opposed to the last system you were working with. It was different. Some things are not compatible. And we talked about, really, over the weeks, five different things we've uncovered. We began by talking about how we received Christ and became justified, and because we're justified, now we have to live by faith. You can read about that in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. And faith has now become our operating system. That's the foundation. It's the motherboard. For those of you, those techies, faith is the motherboard of your new operating system. And Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then we had to learn about how faith works, and we had to get some new understanding. Second thing we realize is that we have to live by faith. Since we have to live by faith, we should be in a constant state of believing. Not walking around and sometimes, I can believe for that, or I should believe. No, if we live by faith, we should be believing all of the time.
Amen.
Or not some of the time.
Amen.
Look at Mark 9. Verse 23, I'm going to share this out of the Young's literal translation because we need to understand it literally. Mark 9:23, Jesus speaking to the father of the demon-possessed boy. He said, all things are possible to the one that is believing. ING means it's a continuing action. It's not enough to believe. We have to always be found to be believing. See, I know what people mean when they say it, but I believe it can cause too much confusion. You know, don't wait till a situation happens and then turn on your switch of faith. No, you need to always be in a state of believing. How many of you turn your lungs on and off? Turn your heart on and off? No, you need that to live, don't you? And so it always has to be in operation. If something happened and they weren't functioning properly, you couldn't go on. And if you don't do something about it, you will die. And it's the same way when you're talking about faith and believing, as far as believers are concerned, because what keeps us going is our belief, is our faith. And because we've accepted this new operating system, you say, I didn't know I accepted it. Well, when you receive Christ, that's what happened. When we accepted it, we said, okay, now we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Period. And so if that's the case, and it is, we always have to be found to be in a state of believing. Period. Then we found that we have to be patient. Nobody likes being patient. I haven't met any person that says, oh yeah, I just like waiting for things. No, we want it now. Or soon after now. We'll say, okay, say what we believe in God for. What's up, God? I'm in faith. Why do you keep asking me? I said I would do it. Why do you keep coming to me? How many of you go to your employer every day? Say, you gonna pay me on Friday? You gonna pay me on Friday? No, when you were hired, he or she told you when you would be paid and how you would be paid, and you said yes, and that was it. And what you would be paid. Yes, thank you. And then every work day after that, you show up at work and you don't go in and say, now, before I start to work, I just want to check. You have the money in the bank to pay me on Friday, right? No, you just believe. You go to work believing that everything's going to be as your boss, that owner, that supervisor, that corporation said it would be, and you don't go and question it. But we'll question God. I know what you said in your word, and God is so loving, and I'm glad I'm not God. I would say, then why are you coming to me? If you already know what I said, if you want to hear me say it again, you should have recorded it. He says, as a matter of fact, I recorded it for you. Put it in a book called the Bible. Allowed for technology to develop so you don't even need this written book. You can have it electronically. You can have it playing, reminding you every moment of every day. So why won't we keep believing? But I'm not God, and he doesn't say that. So, but it's something we need to think about because of our new operating system. So we have to be patient. Look at Hebrews 10. Verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience that after, okay, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And then we learned, I jumped over one, we learned before that, based on Romans 12:1, that we're to be living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices. God wants living sacrifice. See, it's easy for a dead sacrifice to allow itself to be used however it wants to be used. It's dead. God wants us to choose. To choose to give ourselves sacrificially to him every single moment of every single day. He wants living sacrifices. It's easy for something dead to be sacrificed. There's no resistance. It doesn't feel anything. It has no say. He wants living sacrifices with that same dead mindset that I'm presenting myself. Whatever you want to do, you do. Amen. I mean, we sing that song, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Did we mean it? Or were we just enjoying the music? Mm-hmm. So since we have this new operating system, we have to understand that we're to present ourselves as living sacrifices. And then last week, God made it perfectly clear that we've been reformatted. Our old hard drives have been erased. Everything that you did in the past, all those records, all those files, all those pictures, as far as God's concerned, have been erased. All of those hurts that you suffered, all of those wrongs that were done to you, even the abuse that you may have had to endure has been erased as far as God is concerned. And we have to stop putting it on life support and giving it, what do they call it? Artificial respiration? Artificial resuscitation. Artificial. It ain't the real thing. You need to, it died, you need to let it stay dead and stop using it as an excuse to not do the things God has called you to do. I don't want to be hurt again. You walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to show you in a little bit how if you understand that you walk by faith and not by sight, you won't be concerned about being hurt again. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and even though you may have heard it before, but it's not something that's taught. As a matter of fact, it may be contrary. You know, so please don't get up and leave. You know, if you're watching online, as they say, don't touch that dial. You know, because we need to understand that under this new operating system, God is not in control. He's not in control. God's not going to keep you. He's not. He's saying, yes, he is. No, he's not. He's put things in place for us to be kept, but he's not going to physically do it. He's not going to change you. He's not going to take away those bad habits. I don't care how many times you go to God, say, take this away from me, take this away from me. He's not going to do it. We sing this song, my life is in your hands. No, it's not. It's not. Look at Matthew 9. Thank you for staying. Okay. Matthew 9. It's a familiar account, but you're going to see something different. Beginning at verse 18, this is the King James Version, and I'm going to share some portion in the Passion Translation. But in the King James Version, it says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. My power made you whole. Oh, I'm sorry. He said, the power of God made you. God's will for her life. No, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. The Passion Translation, verse 22, it says, Jesus turned around and looked at her and said, my daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has... We come, you know, we want, you know, super evangelists to come with, you know, because they're known to have the healing anointing, and I need them to come and lay hands on me. And they'll come and they'll lay hands on you, and everything will go, you'll walk away the same. Because your faith is not in God's word. Your faith is not in your ability to do what God said you can do. Your faith is in a person other than God. Period. God doesn't want you to have faith in people. He wants you to have faith in him. Amen. It says, your faith has healed you. He didn't say God's will has healed you. He said, your faith has healed you, and we have to get out of the mindset that we're going to ask God to do things, and we just have to sit back and wait for him to do it when he gets around to it. No, he put this in his Bible to let him know that we have something to say about it. Amen. That whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and what? You shall have it. It doesn't say pray and sit down and wait for God to do it. You have to believe that you shall have it. It gets even more, it gets deeper than that. Drop down to verse 27. I'm back in the King James. I'm not going to stay there long. Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. But he kept on stepping. He didn't stop. He kept going. And when he'd come into the house, the blind men came into him. They came in his house. Okay. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. So obviously he heard them. Because as soon as they came into the house, he said, you believe that I have the power to do this. They said, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to God's will for your life, be it unto you. According to what? He told them, not according to his power. He said, according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. See, it's not God's word that changes it. It's your belief in God's word that changes situations. And you have to be actively practicing that belief if you want those kind of results. I'm going to show you something else about those two in a little bit. But in the Passion Translation, I'll read from verse 27. Jesus left the house. Two blind men began following him, shouting out over and over, Son of David, show mercy and heal us. They followed him right into the house where Jesus was staying. So Jesus asked them, do you believe I have the power to restore sight to your eyes? Then they replied, yes, yes, Lord, we believe. Then Jesus put his hands on their eyes and said, you will have what your faith expects. I read that last night. I got up. I ran up the stairs. I went in the room, but my wife was tired and sleeping. I couldn't tell her. I was like, I got to tell somebody. You will have what your faith expects. Say that. Say, I will have what my faith expects. See, under this new operating system, it's our faith that determines our destiny. Yes, God has a purpose and plan for our lives, but it's our faith that's going to propel us into those plans. Amen. It's not going to happen just because God wants it to happen. If that were the case, nobody would need to get saved. Everybody would be saved because God said his desire is that all men be saved and then come into the knowledge of the truth. So why aren't all men saved? Because all men don't have the faith to be saved yet. Amen. That's why he has the church established. That's why he's letting us know that we have a new operating system so we can get out there and let others know that they can be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen. If we don't believe that, or we don't believe the urgency of it, we won't go into all the world and preach the gospel. And too many times we've sat back and yes, I know that some give and you know and make it possible for others to go. We do that personally. This ministry does that. But the command was go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So God expects for all of us to go. Amen. Now, you don't necessarily have to go overseas. You can start out with your block. Instead of complaining about those people at my job, maybe that's why God planted you there. See, we have to get out of the habit. I'm taking a side journey, but I'm not going to keep you here forever, I promise. We have to get out of, I heard that, we have to get out of the mindset we have to get out of the mindset that, you know, God has some special people that he will send out. No, he wants everybody. Everybody that says he's his child, he wants them to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we have to stop being so holy that you can't cut my hair if you have an alternate lifestyle. Right. Uh-huh. Jesus went into and hung out with the most notorious sinner in that area, Amen. Zacchaeus. Amen. Matter of fact, he stopped and said, I must spend time with you. And the people are like, whoa, no, not him. Some folks got upset. Jesus never came to my house, and I do everything that he says. I mean, but we have to go and not go there with, this is what the Bible says, you better do this, you're going to go right to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. And expect them to say, oh, yes, I'm going to come. No, they need to see the love of God coming through you. Amen. And Lord, how long do I have to stay in this assignment? I've been coming to this place for 3 months now. Were you 3 months old when you received Christ? I was 34, so I think I have to at least give folks 34 years. I mean, God waited 34 years for me. Okay. But we have to understand that because we have a new operating system, we love one another. And we understand that God so loved the world, so we have to go out into all the world and show them that he loves them. Just because you go there doesn't mean you're adopting their lifestyle. What makes you think their lifestyle is so powerful it would affect you anyway? So we're going to go, we're willing to let them go to hell and stand there and preach about it? No. That's not why we have this operating system. Do you understand? Now, I told you I was going to tell you something else about those two men. When Jesus left the house, the two blind men began following him, shouting over and over, Son of David, show mercy on us. And this is important. How can those blind men recognize, how could they, a blind person, have that kind of faith? He never saw Jesus in his life. He's blind, both of them. Not only that, they never saw anyone that Jesus healed because they were blind. But they had this faith that just wouldn't let go. Why? How could that happen? They'd never seen him. Never seen any of his miracles. Yet they expected he would do a miracle on their behalf, even though they'd never seen one. There's a biblical premise that we need to grab hold of. Faith cometh by hearing. See, after Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, it says his fame spread abroad. Now you think about it. They didn't have any electronic means of doing it. There was no one there. You know, Jairus didn't take a selfie with he and his raised daughter. You know, no, yet this spread like wildfire. Like wildfire. That these blind, they heard and they're like, oh, we got to get to, he's going to heal us. And they had to trust when they were inquiring, who are these people? Who is this person? And they said, this is Jesus. They had to trust that the folks telling the truth. They had to believe, they're telling me the truth. This is Jesus. We're going to get our sight. We're going to get our sight. And Jesus said something to them in the Message Bible. Boy, he laid their hands on them and he said to them, become what you believe. And it says instantly it happened. They became what they believed. What did they believe? That they could see. And they had sight. Not because it was God's will for them to see. It was because they believed the word that they heard about this person, Jesus. They believed it. They never saw him. They never saw anything that he did. But they heard that this person could fulfill their need. And they said, we're going to get to him. Who's this? Who's that? It's Jesus. That's Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus just keeps walking by. And they came into, they came into his house. And Jesus didn't throw them out. I don't know if I'd do that. But we have to get to that point. But the man, those two men, not one, two men come busting in. And Jesus, oh, you believe I have the power to do this? Yes, become what you believe. Become what you believe. Say, I'm going to become what I believe. See, it was in the lyrics to the song that Pastor Clinton wrote that we sang. I've chosen to believe the word of God. Yes, I believe. See, we speak to the mountain, but we don't believe. And the mountain stands right there looking right back at you. Says to its other peak, they actually think I'm going to leave. No, we don't believe it. See, look at Hebrews 11:1. And this is in the Living Bible. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we don't see it up ahead. We know it's there. Period. And see, in the new operating system, the only acceptable proof of a manifestation of God is faith. There is no other. Prove God exists. I believe that he does. That's it. Nobody can take that away from you. I mean, I've asked this question several times. How many of you as children have been punished by your parent for doing something wrong? Did anybody enjoy the punishment? Well, how many of you have been punished for the same thing more than once? Or twice? Okay. All right, so we did it. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the consequence. We knew what the consequence felt like. We didn't like it, but we did it again. Why? We wanted to. And we didn't care. Didn't matter that we may get caught and pummeled again. We're going to do it because we want to do it. And that's the attitude. Doesn't matter what anybody says. What do you believe? Because that's what you are going to become. Amen. Not with, it's, look, yeah, God had, I know God had a plan for me to be in full-time ministry. I didn't have that plan. I didn't even want to go, I wasn't even willing just to be a church member. I wasn't willing to even go to church. No, I wanted to play basketball. Leave me alone. Let me play basketball. Manage the sales team at Philip Morris. I'm good. That's fine. But God kept allowing things to happen. At each phase, I had to make a choice. I could have chosen another way, and I wouldn't be standing here, even though it's God's will. But I had to first learn that God was real. And I learned that by God exposing me first to an individual who's now my wife, and then to two pastors who lived this life so I had proof that this was real, and I needed that proof because of things that happened in my past. I didn't have a new operating system. I was still on the world system. So I didn't know. Once I knew, because my plan was to only go to church one time, because I told then Phyllis Walcott that I would go to church with her. And I was very specific. I go one time. I'm not going to feel anything. You know. Well, I did go one time. And you know, I said, I just never left. That's all. I made a choice. I'm accepting this operating system. I didn't know anything about it. All I did, I had a sense this was the real deal. Period. From what I heard and what I saw. And God allowed me to see some things because I was a sight person. I was. I liked everybody. I liked short people. But I wasn't going to play. If I played basketball with you, you had to be good. And Elder Deacon Lee was in here. There were some real good short people that we played with. And we wouldn't have won if it weren't for them. Okay. But I needed to. I recognized authority. So God allowed me to come to a place where they had masculine men standing in position. I'm like, whoa, these aren't wimps. I only thought whippy guys with the church. I didn't understand church culture. I'd go to church, and I'm not mocking anybody, but as an unbeliever, I did, because it didn't make sense to me. And I would hear people start talking and wheezing. I'm like, my God, is he having an asthma attack? What's going on? You know? And I always heard persons begging for God to do things. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Why would God make me a man and expect me to act like a punk? That was my attitude. Why would God want me to be mealy-mouthed and weak and sniveling? Because that was my perception of what I saw. I hadn't seen one strong male in Christ. I hadn't seen any man, I hadn't seen anybody stand up and demand the devil to leave a situation. I hadn't seen anyone walk. I hadn't seen anyone walk in authority like that until I came here and was exposed to Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. And I said, and the congregation. When I saw Lee Thomas and Victor Brodus and these other big guys in position serving, and even Deacon Gam, who wasn't a big guy but had a huge personality, I was like, wow, you mean I can come to Christ and still be a man? That was important to me. And I believed it, and I became what I believed. You will become what you believe. Amen. Let me show. I'm almost done. I really am. Everyone says miracle. No, I'm almost done. Okay. All right. Look at Exodus 3. Exodus 3. King James Version. Exodus 3. Can just show you something. So Moses was having his burning bush experience. Picking up at verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So he said, I'm giving them a land that's inhabited by other people. And the Uptites, yes. So he told Moses, this is the plan. In Exodus 23, he gave them some additional information, an additional reminder. In verse 20 to 25, he said, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Why are these turkeys always complaining about, we don't have any food, we don't have any money, what are we going to do? God already said, I put an angel there, he prepared the way, you're going to have everything you need. But that was, he said, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the... and listen to what he said. And I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly, but thou shall, thou, you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Okay? And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So they had a sure word from God that they didn't have to be concerned about anything with all these folks that are in the land that God gave them, because he told them, my angel will cut them off, and you will overthrow them. He didn't say my angel will overthrow them. My angel's going to cut them off and you're going to overthrow them. My angel's going to take away their strength. You're going to overthrow them. You. See, that means me? Yes. You shall overthrow them. That's what he said. So Moses sends out spies into the land. And this is why as a leader, you need to be sure that you're only sharing with the people what God said to you. Because God told Moses to send people into the land to see the goodness of the land. He didn't tell them to check out the people and see if what they thought, if the people were strong or weak. He didn't tell them to say that. But Moses told them that. And so right away, now you're going in this land. Your mindset may have been, yeah, we're going to overthrow them. See if these people are strong or weak. What difference does it make? God said he's going to cut them off and I'm going to overthrow them. I don't care whether they're strong or weak. By the time I get to them, they're going to be weak. I remember this underdog cartoon. Without his super energy pill, he gets weaker and weaker and weaker still. It's amazing what comes into your head. Okay. So they went out and they looked at the land. Numbers 13, give me verse 25. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. How many days were they in this land? 40 days. Remember that. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Not praise the Lord, when are we going to go, Moses? But nevertheless, in spite of all of this good that we see in here, the people are strong that dwell in that land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You know, we don't want to mess with them. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Who cares where they live? God said, I'm cutting them off and you're going to overthrow them. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they stronger than we are. Doesn't matter that God said, you will overthrow them. Said, no, they're too strong. We can't do that. And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now, wait a minute. You were in there for 40 days. How come it didn't eat you up? So already you're contradicting yourself. Because if it eats up everybody that dwell there, you wouldn't be here giving this report. All right? Said, and the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we, in our own sights, we, because of our lack of faith in God and the faith that we placed in the enemies of God, we became what we believed. We became as grasshoppers. They said, in their sight also, oh, you talked with them? How do you know how they feel about you? And does it matter? All we need to know is how God feels about us. Right. I don't care what the children of Anak have to say. I only care about what God has said. What happened to God said it? That settles it. I believe it. What happened to that? We're like those boxers that are winning the fight, and then we get take a good shot to the jaw, and all of a sudden we have a different perspective. And we start thinking, ooh, maybe I can't beat this guy. And you lose the fight. Why? You became what you believed. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to have any doubt slip in, because doubt is going to change your identity. They can't be. See, it doesn't matter what God said. This is what God told me to tell you. Doesn't matter that he said he was going to give them the land. It didn't matter that he said he'd cut off their enemies. It didn't matter that he said, don't serve them, don't bow down to their gods or adopt their customs. Just serve the Lord and he'll bless you. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Even though God made it clear that he would take care of them, they didn't believe it. And they became what they believed. Weak, puny, defenseless, pitiful. And God said, you ain't going into my land. And everybody except Joshua and Caleb died in the desert. They became what they believed. They figured if they went into the line, into the land, they'd be destroyed. They believed they'd never see the land because of the inhabitants. They died in the desert. They never saw it. They became what they believed. The entire Israelite army believed that Goliath was too strong to be overtaken by anybody. By anybody. So you have this mighty army known for conquering. People know that God fights for them. They become weak and afraid. What? They became what they believed. They're in their area, and they're having their war cries, and they're psyching themselves up. And this has gone on for days. You do all these things. You come out, yeah, we're going to kill ourselves, some Philistines. And we go, here comes Goliath. Send me one man. Oh, my God, did you see this guy? Oh, man. David looks at it and said, what's up with this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to defy the armies of God? Don't let your heart fail because of this guy. I'll take care of him. You, go back to your sheep, little boy. He said, no. The same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this guy too. And he used the tools by which God trained him. Saul wanted to give him his armor. And I'm like, if you have so much confidence in this armor, how come you're not wearing it going out after Goliath? And you want to give it to me? No, we need to think about what was going on then and think about how people probably think. You're afraid. You have this armor. You take this armor. It'll protect you. Then why don't you have it on out there? You're the king. But the king was leading. He was leading his people into becoming what they believed. And David went out. Goliath didn't believe that David. Goliath said, am I a dog? You know. And David was like, who let the dogs out? See, Goliath saw David as weak. David saw Goliath as headless. I mean, and David became what he believed. He believed that God would cause him to conquer Goliath. He became what he believed, even though the entire Israeli army felt otherwise. Why am I emphasizing that? It doesn't matter if everybody around you thinks differently. What do you believe? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? What are you going to become because of your belief? Because your belief is the only one that matters to you. Amen. You will become what you believe. Amen. We have to understand that, folks, because it's going to happen whether you understand it or not. As a matter of fact, it's happening presently. Yes. I became sickly. I became prone to high blood pressure spikes because I believed I would. Well, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Because I believed the report. I read about the strength and the record of elevated blood pressure. I've read what it has done, and I've seen what it has done to people. And I was like, I better do something about this because it'll do the same thing to me. Oh, me of no faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. It was. I ain't have it. And then all of a sudden, one day, Pastor Ed said something, and I heard myself speaking it for the first time. Every time, look, I'm scheduled. Oh, boy. He said, what's the matter? I'm like, you know, every time I'm scheduled to minister, I wind up in the emergency room because my blood pressure spikes. And he just looked at me and said, why do you keep saying that? I'm like, because that's what happens. You, well, wait a minute. I had become what I believed. And I still become what I believe, only I believe differently now. It doesn't matter the report that I get. See, I do something that we all have to do so we make sure that our believing is in the right place. We have to remember the things that Jesus told us. Yes. We have to see, we damage our faith. Hear me clearly. We damage our faith trying to believe away things that Jesus said will happen. There will be wars and rumors of wars. We're trying to pray it away. And we're getting frustrated because it looks like our prayers are not being answered. Jesus said these things will happen. In this world, you, we're trying to pray it away. And it ain't happening. And we're getting frustrated. This faith stuff don't work. I've been a fool all these years. I could have been having a good time. No, you haven't chosen to believe the word of God. You haven't remembered what Jesus said. We need to stop complaining and remember. We become what we believe. Period. I don't care how long you've been in the Word. If your believing is off, your life is going to be off. And sitting around waiting for God to fix it ain't going to happen. Because you're waiting for God to move, He's waiting for you to obey. You need to think about that. I'm going to close in a couple of minutes. No, I'm serious. I am. We heard that before. Look at John 14. Verse 25 to 30 in the Passion Translation. Jesus said, I am telling you this while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me, who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name. Listen to this. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. If we're not spending time, quality time, praying, communing with the Holy Ghost, we're not going to remember. Amen. We're not going to remember. Amen. God knew. Listen, if God sends someone like him to guide us into all truth, to testify of him, to remind us of the things that Jesus told us, it should be obvious to us that God knew we wouldn't remember it all on our own. So he put in place something for us so that we can always be in remembrance of what he said. But if we're too busy to spend the time, we say, okay, you know, while I'm shaving, he said, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Have a great day. Okay, I'm ready. Good. I had my prayer time. I'm done. I spent time. No, quality time. What's quality time? For me, it means till I get something. I won't stop preparing for a message until God gives me a revelation about something. It's not enough for me just to have scriptures to tell you about. I want the revelation of those scriptures, and I'm going to stay as long as it takes to get it. Because it's important to you that I get it. And that's what I expect. And so whatever time it takes, it takes. And it may come at different times. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, God, your timing is interesting sometimes. Because I'll be in a conversation. I'll be sitting with my wife in the restaurant and say, honey, I'm sorry. I got to write this down. Because a thought pops in. I'm like, why do you do it this way? You know? I mean, but I have to have the revelation so that I can share it with you. I have one more scripture, and then we're going to quit. Well, I need to finish this one first. Verse 27. I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your heart. Instead, be courageous. Remember what I've told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. So if you truly love me, you will be glad for me, since I'm returning to my Father who's greater than I. So when all these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. Yes. And in 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 10 in the King James Version, He starts out saying, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, because the word of God is not bound, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I endure all things for those people who need to become believers, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have to remember why Jesus died. We have to remember why he was raised from the dead, and then do with that what we are supposed to. And we have to stop letting all these other contrary things get in the way. We have to become what we believe. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have to believe that we're missionaries. Amen. And become what we believe. Going out and sharing the message of the gospels. We're new creatures in Christ. We're at the same place Adam was before he sinned. We were given power and authority and dominion. We were given the measure of faith that we need to accomplish anything, that we're told that whatever we ask or speak, what we believe is what we will have. What we say should be based on what we believe. And if that's so, then we'll have what we say. We're having what we say anyway. We're just saying the wrong things. We've been promised that God will supply all our need. We were told that God's grace is sufficient. We were told we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. So I don't know how many of you agree, but I think it's time that we became what we believe based on the word of God and start having the faith, having our faith produce what God expects. Our faith can produce what God expects. But before it can do that, we need to let our faith produce what we expect. Amen?
Amen.
Guess what I'm going to do? I'm gone hooked.